You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 90 of Take a Bow. I'm your host, Eli Tokash, and this week, I am very excited for this week's episode, okay? We have on one of the child performers that is currently on Broadway. Very exciting time for me. I always love talking to other child performers and getting their perspectives and just talking and kind of reminiscing on, like, what it was like to be on Broadway as a kid, talking about those experiences and kind of just like soaking it all in. It's such a great time because especially as I get older, it's cool to see like these young kids kind of do something similar to what I did when I was kind of just like, oh, you know, this is life, but not really realizing the extraordinary thing that was kind of going on in my life. And so I enjoy now talking to kids. I mean, I'm still a kid, but I still enjoy talking to people that are a bit younger, that are child performers, that are the age that I was at the time, and kind of, you know, offering some guidance and advice and kind of like point things out that is obviously great for them because it's super relatable as someone who lived through it. And I appreciate the feedback and you'll kind of see a little bit like that. But it's cool to see like someone going through. Exciting episode. We have Devin Trey Campbell, who is currently in MJ the Musical. He was also in Kinky Boots. He has a great new TV series coming out soon. He's doing a lot of great stuff and I was excited to bring him on. Talk to him about so many cool things and talk about what it's like to be a child performer. And I think that you're all really going to enjoy this episode. It was a great one. So we'll turn it over to the episode very shortly. But now let's talk about some Broadway news because there's some exciting things happening. So first of all, I don't even know where to begin because there's just so much going on. First, I guess we can start out with saying that Funny Girl announced its entire cast, which is like awesome. Great stuff. It's got a lot of incredible people. Congratulations to everyone involved. I know it's a highly anticipated show of the new Broadway season, so just wanted to announce that that happened and wanted to congratulate everyone involved with that. Speaking of casting, they did announce that Alex Brightman will reprise his role of Beetlejuice in Beetlejuice, which is exciting because I don't know how that show could have done without him. Maybe that's me. Maybe that's an unpopular opinion. I truly don't think that there's anyone better to play this role. It's hard to imagine that anyone could play that role better. It's just an incredibly demanding role, and the way that Alex has been able to navigate it and do it in a way that is healthy and both amazing at the same time is just really incredible. So that's exciting from a casting standpoint, and it seems as though that they will be announcing the full cast of what they're calling the resuming of performances for Beetlejuice, and it's technically not a revival. So it's exciting to see, I guess, the cast moving forward for Beetlejuice. I don't even know what I would say. But yes, that is happening. That is something to look forward to. That is coming out today if you're listening to this on Thursday when this episode drops. That's all I have for casting. West Side Story West Side Story came to an agreement with Disney Plus and set a streaming date, which is so exciting because anyone who doesn't want to go to the movie theaters right now, totally understandable. And now you will be able to watch it from the comfort of your home if you have a Disney Plus account. If not, get someone's password. I didn't say that. I swear I didn't say that. If you need a password, you know you can find one. Anyways, that's happening on March 2nd. So please, please, please keep your eye on that because it's definitely something that you won't want to miss. And because it's something that you won't want to miss, you would definitely want to check it out because they have gotten some great press now that the Oscar nominations have come out. Super, super excited that once again, theater is being represented at the Oscars in such a big academy, in such a big platform, I guess, in such a big way. That's happening March 27th, the Oscars. So watch West Side Story before then. You have a three-week period. You can watch West Side Story March 2nd. March 27th is when the Oscars is. So congratulations to Ariana DeBose for her nomination as Best Actress in a Supporting Role. Congratulations to Steven Spielberg for Best Director. Congratulations to the creative team for costume designing, sound designing, cinematography, production design. I mean, they won everything, or they got nominated for everything, I should say. So huge, huge, huge congratulations. Super well-deserved. So very, very happy about that. And that's not all the representation, the theater representation that's going to be at the Oscars. Andrew Garfield also received a nomination for Best Actor in a Leading Role and for Tick, Tick, Boom. Sorry about that. And they also received a nomination for a film editing achievement. So that's very exciting. Cyrano was nominated for Best Costume Design, which was a play that was on Broadway and then turned into a movie. And then, of course, Encanto. Encanto was nominated for three awards, including Best Animated Feature Film, Best Score, and Lin-Manuel Miranda, of course, was nominated for Best Original Song. Great stuff going on there. Hopefully we see some theater people win the Oscar awards. But if not, that's still an incredible achievement and super, it's a step forward for all theater folks. It's great to see that people are starting to pay attention to those because that's really some, that's some real art that's being put on the screen. So very exciting to see all of that. Music Man. Let's talk about it. Congratulations to Music Man. They will be opening tonight, I believe, February 10th. They will have their opening night. And guess how many cast members are making their Broadway debut? And this is huge, by the way. This is a really big deal. 21 cast members in Music Man will be making their Broadway debut. So congratulations to everyone. Seriously, literally, like, everyone, including, and a special congratulations to the 21 cast members making their Broadway debut. Super, super exciting. Can't wait to see the show. Now we can finally get some press about the show. As I mentioned last week or a couple weeks ago, that Music Man was not allowing press to come until opening night. My thoughts on that can be heard on another episode. Jagged Little Pill confirmed that the North America, that there will be a North American tour, so we're not getting rid of Jagged Little Pill altogether, which is great because I think it's a really lovely show, and I think that the story is really lovely too, and I think it needs to continue to be told, especially in this day and age. So Jagged Little Pill, although it closed on Broadway, can be seen all around the world. Oh, Assassins will be releasing an off-Broadway cast recording in March, which is very, very exciting. As I mentioned, when I saw Assassins, I absolutely, I didn't know how to feel. I enjoyed the show because I enjoyed the performances and I enjoyed the songs that were performed by this cast in particular. The story went over my head a little bit. Wasn't my cup of tea, but I am excited for this cast recording because, as I said, the performances were incredible, and this cast was just, it was ridiculous. This cast, it was a dream cast, like literally like one of those fake ones that you like see on Instagram of like who you wish could like play a role. Like, that was this cast, and it definitely deserves to have some type of cast recording or evidence that this actually did happen. Of course, it's going to be like, it has evidence and everything, but having that cast recording is going to be awesome. So very exciting for that. Keep an eye out for what day that comes out. I will obviously keep you all updated. And lastly, Amber Gray will be playing her final performance in Hadestown on February 19th, which is just 10 days away, well, 9 days away from when you listen to this. So not this Saturday, but the following Saturday will be her last performance in Hadestown. And I just wanted to say congratulations to you, Amber, on such an incredible run in Hadestown. I absolutely adore your performance. It was the first time I had seen you on stage and fell in love with you immediately. She obviously originated the role of Persephone in Hadestown. She is one of the first original cast members that is a principal to leave. The casting for the role of her replacement will be announced shortly. It has not been released yet. But once again, congrats, Amber, on an incredible run, an incredible performance. She was so good in that. So that's what's going on. And that's all the news I have for you folks this week. But please stay tuned until after this episode because I have a super important announcement to make on behalf of Take a Bow that is kind of like Take a Bow news. So I'm going to save that for after the episode because we just need to get over to Devin and we need to listen to his stories because it's a great episode and I don't want to keep you waiting any longer. So without further ado, let's turn it over to Devin Trey Campbell. Devin Trey Campbell? Curtain up. This week, we have a quadruple threat. We have an actor, a singer, a dancer, and a voice actor who has established themselves in all these realms in the industry, and he's only 13 years old. By the way, just recently opened his second Broadway show as he currently appears as Young Marlin and understudy Little Michael in MJ the Musical. So everyone, welcome to Take a Bow, Devin Trey Campbell.
Hello.
Hello. Oh my goodness. This is so exciting. First of all, I don't think we've had the opportunity to like catch up and talk since you were in Kinky Boots.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right? That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I think so. That was a while ago too. That was like
about 5 years, right?
5 years ago.
Yeah. That's crazy. I can't believe it. And look at you now, still going, still chucking along, doing all the things. Good for you, man.
I do try. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Are you kidding me? This is so cool. So you're a pro, and we're going to talk about all the incredible things that you've been up to. But as I said, you're literally you've done a wide range of things in your career at 13 years old. But talk to me about what interested you in getting into performing and all of that.
Okay, yeah. So I remember my parents, my two very wonderful and supportive parents are, they love sports. So yeah. They were thinking like, okay, we're going to have a child and this child is going to love sports. He's going to be a great athlete. He's going to do everything that we couldn't, right? And then I come out and I'm just like, I don't like softball.
Right.
I don't like softball. I don't like karate. I don't like all this stuff. And so they were like, okay, sure. So they take me to go see The Lion King. Okay. Oh. On Broadway. I think 2.5, 3.
What?
And I see it and I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to be on Broadway. And they're, of course, like, okay, sure, child. It's great. Child. But then they actually realized, like, oh my gosh, like, this is, like, actually what he wants to do. So they started putting me in, like, community theater and stuff like that. And then I kind of just took off.
There you go. And this was at, you, they put you into dance around, like, 3 years old?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was a dancer for quite some time. I kind of still am. I dabble now, but, you know.
Amazing. You dabble now. I saw MJ. Come on, man. I don't know about dabbling. That's some intense stuff, but we'll talk about that in a second. But it's so true. You know, anyone who you see on the stage who is a young performer, it's only because of their supportive parents and kind of taking a, you know, detour a little bit and doing something like this for their kids to so that they can enjoy themselves and have a great time. That's so cool to hear that your parents were able to, you know, support that and support you and what you wanted to do. Yeah. So are you from this New York area that you were just able to see New York on Broadway, or was it kind of like your first time in New York?
Yeah, so I'm from the Bronx. I was born and raised in the Bronx. I still live in the Bronx, but yeah, so we have access to Manhattan pretty easily, mm-hmm. you know, like with some traffic here and there, but like it's not terrible. Like I'm not from somewhere else. Like this is where I am, you know.
Amazing. Amazing. So as you mentioned, like you are a big dancer and that's like kind of where you got your start. Talk to me about, did you ever dream of like doing, when you get into dancing, is it more of just like, oh, I'm going to be a competitive dancer? Or is there kind of like the goal is to dance on Broadway or beyond?
I think it started out as like, oh yeah, I kind of want to be a competitive dancer. Because when I heard about like dance competitions and stuff like that, I was like, oh yeah, no, I totally want to do that. Like that sounds great. And I had done that for like 2-3 years, you know? Mm-hmm. But then I like started like getting into it more, and as I matured I was kind of just like, yeah, I this is like a way, it's not just for like competitiveness, it's just like a way for me to like express myself, you know.
Yes.
So yeah, finding that balance of being competitive and also having the chance for it to be like a creative outlet was great, you know. So
absolutely. And when you found that kind of way to express yourself and you saw that that was what it was doing, do you think that that helped you to like then move to like acting and expressing yourself in that way?
Well, I've always been very dramatic individual.
Amazing.
So I think just learning how to like use that in like a professional sense.
Right.
Helped a lot, but certainly when I was dancing, I did have a lot of very dramatic facial expressions, which kind of helped a lot in the creative process.
That's amazing. That what a great answer. I mean, come on. So as I mentioned, so you were in Kinky Boots, and that was your Broadway debut. And you were 8 in Kinky Boots? How old were you?
I was like 7, 7 and a half.
Oh my god. And you're making your Broadway debut. Have you ever worn heels before Kinky Boots?
No.
Really?
I'm going to tell you right now. I had never worn heels before Kinky Boots because I don't know why. I remember I had done I was about to do the audition. I had like rehearsed for the audition, and then my mom had the bright idea to be like, hey, how about you wear my heels into the audition and see how that goes?
What?
So I wore with my little 7-year-old feet, I put on my mom's heels and walked into that audition room and did my material.
It worked. You booked it. That's incredible. You walked into the audition in oversized heels.
Yeah.
That's the best thing ever. So when it came, like, so you like didn't like practice that? That was like kind of like a spontaneous thing?
Yeah, my mom was just like, here, try these on. And I was like, what? Oh. She was like, yes, those are what you're wearing into the audition.
Love it.
I kind of just threw them on and then went. I was like, hi. And they're like, oh my gosh.
Well, it checked off one of their boxes. They knew you could walk in heels at least. That's great. So when you get to Kinky Boots and you are performing in front of thousands of people. Does what comes through your head, like, do you realize that, or was it like when you get a little older you're starting to realize it more, or what?
Yeah, I think now I'm like really starting to like, it's like just now starting to sink in that I was like, I like was on Broadway at like 7 years old, but then doing it then I was kind of just like, oh yeah, I'm on a stage and I'm singing. So I didn't gain consciousness,
right,
for lack of a better term, like, you know, while I was doing it. But now that like I've done all these other things, now I'm just like, whoa, I did that, you know?
Right.
So yeah, it's pretty cool.
I love it. It's so cool. I mean, I think for any kid to be on Broadway is like, it's pretty freaking cool, right? And we don't even realize what we're doing. We don't realize that it's like a job, and we just get to go and play. So are you, when you were doing like Kinky Boots, and even now with like MJ and the TV shows that you do and everything, are you doing online school? Do you go to school? How does school work?
Oh, okay. So it's a lot easier now than it was when I was doing Kinky Boots, because when I was in Kinky Boots, the school that I was going to, which was a public school in Bronx, was not really suited for children that were in the business.
Gotcha.
It was kind of just a school that people were just like, okay, let me learn and then leave, you know? It wasn't right. Like, let me take my work with me to this job and then, you know, so it was kind of, it was a lot of pressure, sort of, because, you know, it was just, yeah, it was just a lot of pressure because, you know.
It was tricky for them to work with.
I was just a very isolated case.
Yeah.
Just being, like, the only kid that had, like, special, not necessarily special treatment, but, like, you know, yeah, special treatment.
Right.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Yeah, so, and now, now that I'm, because that was only like an elementary school, right? Now that I'm in middle school, going into high school, I'm in eighth grade, I am in a school for the, like, the professional. So it's a very, it's a school for children that are in the business. Sure. And now, you know, I get my work from the school and we're mostly online, even though I go in person. All of the work is like on a computer unless I have to print something out. But now I guess I'm more tech savvy.
Sure.
Well, I feel it's a little easier for me. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I bet, like, obviously I was working before the pandemic and everything like that, when I was a child actor doing school and shows and everything. But I feel like now with the whole pandemic and learning how to do this online school as more of a, you know, kind of the norm, I guess, I'm sure it's progressed drastically, and I'm sure that it's able to be better suited for cases like us, you know, who are doing double duty. It's like doing a job and doing school.
Oh yeah, no, let me tell you, I before the pandemic hit, I was like really, really struggling with typing.
Oh, really?
Just like the thought of like thinking about something and then having to like find the key. Like I would look down at the keyboard as I was writing. But now it's just like, you know,
second nature.
2 years of just doing that. It's just like crazy how like from one extreme to the next. I'm like, I went from like having to individually type the keys with one finger to, like, right. literally, like, speed writing five-paragraph essays without even looking at the keyboard.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And you're in eighth grade. You're about to go in high school. So you're managing this whole high school application while being on Broadway. Is this kind of like the stage you're in?
Yeah, I so now I'm preparing for high school auditions.
Oh my gosh.
That's starting to come up. So I have a bunch of different schools that I have like in my mind that I kind of want to audition for, but they're like kind of like self-tape auditions that I have to do. So sure. I had a two-show day on literally yesterday on Saturday, and I was doing the two-show day, right? And then my mom texted me and she was like, okay, this is where you need to go. You have a voice lesson to work on your high school auditions. So I have to now, I guess, as soon as I turn 13, right? I was so like non-independent, right? Mm-hmm. And as soon as I turned 13, I just got all of these responsibilities. And I'm like, whoa,
you know,
I'm like walking to voice lessons by myself and like taking public transit to work. And it's,
wow.
Now it's very different.
That's awesome. Hold on to it as long as you can. Okay. It's a good time. I remember trying to brush it away a little bit, but I wish I would have held on to it a little bit more. It's fun time. It's a fun time. But so as I mentioned, so you're in Kinky Boots and now you're in MJ the Musical. Talk to me, because Kinky Boots, you came in a little bit later on in the run. But this year, you're originating it, you know? This is you. Talk to me about opening night and, like, just experiencing, like, a Broadway opening night as one of the cast members.
Okay, so, well, the first thing that I had, like, found, like, I hadn't even, like, comprehended the fact that I was in the original cast of, like, a new Broadway show that was coming to Broadway.
Right.
when I had done Kinky Boots, like you said, like, I joined after they had won like Tony's, you know?
Right.
So I was kind of like, I wasn't there for that, you know? I wasn't there for the process, you know? So that was like very informative to me.
Sure.
To see like the rehearsal process and like having to do tons of script changes every single day because of like new line changes and new stage directions that were added last minute. And
oh yeah.
Like now the payoff of it being like February 1st, like that payoff was amazing. Like everybody mm-hmm. loved it. Like, because when we had the opening preview, we had the invited dress rehearsal before the opening preview. And our director, Chris Wheeldon, had like informed us. He was like, okay, so remember that the invited dress was your family members.
Right.
And that was basically like a test run, and they were supposed to laugh at all the jokes because right. they're family members. Just know that this is the general public, so if they don't laugh at your jokes, it's not because they're not funny, it's just because they're just not your family members.
Right.
So that was really hard because I was like, oh no, that's a possibility, you know, because like I had done theater at so young, and like kind of the excuse of like not being funny, it was like, oh, he's little, you know?
Yeah.
Like older, and there's like a possibility that people would just not laugh at my jokes. So
right.
You know, but that payoff on February 1st for everybody, like one of the numbers, I think one of our big numbers is you've seen the show, Wanna Be Starting Something.
Yes.
that,
so
like,
good.
I'm in the dressing room during that, and they turn off the mics for the applause. So the longer the mics are turned off, the longer the applause is.
Mm-hmm.
So that night of opening, we were listening to the PA system, and there's like about like a 2 minute interval of silence because everybody loves Wannabe. And you know, it was crazy. Like the realization that like people like this show, like there's people
that
like the show, you know?
Yeah. I love that. That's so cool. It's so true. Like, you don't realize what it's like to come into a show that's already has all of those jokes in place. It's got them perfected and down pat. And then you're just like, I'm going to this new show and I'm like, now what do I do? Like, I have to figure this out myself, you know?
There were hardly ever any, like, from what I remember during Kinky Boots, there were hardly any mishaps.
Right. Because
some of the people that were there from the, like, first labs and previews and, like,
yeah.
I forgot where it was, I think maybe Chicago, were literally, like, still doing the show on Broadway and had, like, perfected their track. With mm-hmm. this show, like, there were some major, like, there were some major mishaps.
Yeah, I imagine. I mean, the show's very technical with all the lighting, all the costumes. And it's just all the dancing. All the dancing is insane. I'm sure that's going to happen. And I'm sure it's going to take a minute for everyone to get into the swing of things.
Oh, yeah, because I had, basically, fresh off of Kinky Boots.
Yeah.
Still, like, kind of recovering from Kinky Boots and doing all that stuff. Coming to this show, I was like, yeah, these guys are great, you know? And then realizing that it was a brand new show and that totally. Mishaps were bound to happen, you know? It was still very surprising seeing them happen. I was like, wait, this could happen? This is
yeah.
You know?
Especially, too, because, like, Kinky Boots and MJ are very similar in that they are both heavily featuring the ensemble. You know, oh, it's yeah. a big ensemble piece. And I think that's so cool, especially, like, with all of the stages of Michael Jackson, especially you and playing Little Young Marlin, right? Or is it Little Marlin?
We're, like, interchangeable. But there's,
okay.
Yeah, it's Young Marlin, Little Marlin, and then there's... Technically, it's like the same thing.
It's like, okay.
There's Team Marlin. That's like the older one.
So. Right. So that's so fun to just see that kind of growth on the stage in front of you of the Jackson 5 as a whole. So talk to me, because this is like different. You obviously originated this role and you're on Broadway and you're figuring this out. But this is also like based on a real person. So like... You were obviously born in 2008 and Michael Jackson passed away in 2009. Like what role, like what did you do to like prepare for studying Marlin and Michael?
Well, the original audition that I had done was for Little Michael. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So they wanted somebody who could do Little Michael, you know, mm-hmm. but also be able to do Little Marlin if they found somebody who could play Little Michael, because the roles are interchangeable, you know? Mm-hmm. Since I am a pubescent growing child,
sure.
I am pretty tall for my age.
Yes.
You know? So when I auditioned, they said, you know, he's great, but he's massive. uh-huh. So we're going to give him Little Marlin. But to prepare for the role of Little Michael, I had watched their performances as per my voice teacher's request, mm-hmm. Just to find the certain, like, you know, dynamics that his voice had.
Sure.
You know? And I also ended up watching the the original Michael Jackson cartoon, like the Jackson.
Oh, band. Yeah.
That I had just stumbled upon randomly. And I was like, what is this? And it was actually like an actual, like, real cartoon. So I had seen, you know, how they acted.
Sure.
When put in a situation where, you know, they were given a script and stuff like that. I mean, it was good.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I didn't even know that was out there.
Yeah. But certainly, like, yeah, you know, just preparing for the role and looking at all the performances and seeing how happy they are, even though the pressure of their father waiting in the wings is
sure.
absolutely terrifying, is, you know, that was what made them fearless, you know, powerful, iconic, you know, and just that stone face, not really, but like, yeah, just that stone face personality that they all had to prepare for what happened off stage.
Sure, behind the scenes.
It was very, it's a cool thing to master, you know?
Yeah, well, I think you guys have done a brilliant job with it. I mean, truly, I feel like everyone has their own dynamic and story, and it's not so featured on Little Michael, you know, mm-hmm. it's got all of you involved. And I think that's really cool. As I mentioned before, it's such an ensemble piece. And I love that about the show. It gives everybody an arc and everybody a moment to shine, you know, truly.
Yeah.
But that's so cool. I thank God for the internet, right? If it wasn't for the internet, we would not be able to research a lot of things, and we would miss out on a lot of our history, you know? But anyways, like understudying little Michael, how does that work like with rehearsals? Like obviously during previews, you had to focus on Marlon, right?
Yeah. Certainly. But like it was a lot of, cause I'm constantly around little Michael, you know, cause like when the Jackson 5 is around, when Michael is around, like young Michael, the Jackson 5 is there, you know?
Right.
So I kind of like, from repetition of like the scenes and stuff, I kind of got down his lines since I, you know, have less lines than him. You know, I have, mm-hmm. you know, honed in on all these little things that Michael had done, the performing Michael that they had done, and just mm-hmm. kind of took that in and took all the notes that they had and kind of just, you know, when the time was right, just focused on each character.
Wow, that's pretty professional of you. Seriously, I mean, you're doing like 2-in-1 at rehearsals and like no one's telling you to do that.
Interesting.
Yeah, good on you. That's incredible. You're a true pro. come on. That's awesome. Well, that's awesome. I love that Michael Jackson is, this show is awesome. I went to see it and I didn't want to stay seated, you know, like I just wanted to like get up and dance and I just wanted to like sing along. It's so the vibe in the room is just so special, and I had something like I've really never experienced before at a theater. But now that I think about it, it is very similar to like a Kinky Boots kind of thing where it feels like that concert and it's that show and it's just that wonderful sense of like community in some sort of way that the audience has with this show that we're all seeing. It's brilliant. And I'm glad that you've been able to be a part of such two wonderful shows. I mean, seriously, it's so cool.
Yeah. We've had cause I'm doing all those 8 shows. So I get to see all of the different audiences that we get that I started really see when I was doing Kinky Boots, because it was kind of just like a on-off kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know? So on the nights that we got, like, there were like 2 types of audiences that we would get, like, so for the opening preview and also for opening night, you know, we had a really good like concert audience that was kind of there just to like kind of listen to Michael Jackson's music and, you know, get to know more about him, and would scream at the mere introduction of a song.
Sure.
So we had a lot of those, the opening previews and stuff like that. And we also had like those Broadway audiences that would like follow the story and look inside of his head and, you know, kind of just, you know, be a Broadway audience.
Right.
You know? It wasn't like, you know, seeing a Michael Jackson concert. It was kind of just like seeing, you know, his story, you know. It was like a biography of Michael Jackson, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just seeing all of those like people, like the duality between the two, I was like, you know, like, you never really noticed that when you like kind of did like an on and off kind of thing, but seeing like every single different audience and the kind of, you know, take they took on the story, it was kind of nice, you know?
Yeah. You know, I actually talked to Antoine about this too. Yeah. And I was curious to ask, you know, like that concert audience that kind of has the urge to sing along or maybe get up and dance, like, does that ever like distract you guys, or are you guys totally cool with it?
Honestly, I think it hypes us up even more.
I love that. He said the same thing.
When we have that concert audience, even like during the opening number, when he first enters and the music just starts to swell, you know,
mm-hmm.
After that number is done, everybody's like, okay, yeah, we could do this, you know, even on those days that we're kind of just like, we've been doing 8 shows a week.
Right.
Oh my gosh, you know, and then we finally hear that audience and we're like, whoa, you know, some people try to like clap along. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. But it just electrifies us even more to just keep working and keep on pushing, you know?
Oh, I love that. That's so cool. So I want to talk to you about
Miles Frost and Tavon, old sample. I mean, what they're doing on a nightly basis is just unbelievable. What kind of things can you, like, even anyone in the cast? I mean, we don't have to limit it to them, but I'm just saying, I was blown away by their work. But I'm curious, like, what are you able to do as a young performer to, like, you know, kind of look up to them and watch them and try to pick things up from them?
Yeah, totally. Just seeing their, like, they're so humble and, like, so kind, you know? Like, even, like, we all have off days, you know?
Totally.
But, like, even if they have off days, which it never looks like they do, honestly, on stage, but, you know, they're always at 100%. They're always super nice, you know, no matter, like, what had happened before they stepped into the building, you know?
Sure.
Like, everybody's demeanor is just always up all the time. So that really just helps us perform even better and just, you know, really thrive in that environment.
That's awesome. And now, like, what about from, like, a character perspective, like, kind of like using their little movements or something that you could pick up if you go on for Little Michael? Do you see that too?
Yeah, I really do see that with our two MJs, mm-hmm. with Miles, you know? They really do have something to play off of when, you know, they're performing, because he's so great, you know, emotionally and with his singing, that, you know, it gives you a really good place to bounce off of. You know, you can even tell off stage that everybody's having a great time and everybody is just, you know, performing, you know?
Yeah. It's incredible, like, how many Broadway debuts are in this show. Like, the fact that it's Miles and Tavon's Broadway debut is just, like, mind-blowing. It seems like they've been around the block for years, you know, just to the way that they carry themselves and are able to be so comfortable on that stage. It's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, no, they're really amazing. I totally look up to them, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. So... that's Broadway, right? That you're covered Broadway, right? And now you're gonna cover this whole, like, voiceover world that you played Barry in Eureka on Disney Junior. That is so cool, first of all.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But I want to know, like, you know, voice acting is its own entity in this entertainment business. Like, it's so different from anything else. Like, talk to me about, like, acting with your voice compared to, like, regular acting in theater or on camera or whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it's super duper crazy, because, you know, if we had, like, we have, like, you know, TV acting where, you know, we see people's faces and stuff, like, and we see, like, their demeanor change and, you know, their, as well as their voice. But, you know, you also have voice acting, which is literally just your voice. Because, you know, sometimes in, like, we have, like, video games and stuff like that, they do, like, mocap, or they have, you know, some kind of thing to bounce off of. This, I don't have any, like, you know, I don't have anything to bounce off of for this.
Right.
No, you know? So just kind of finding the balance and literally just, like, reading the script and having, you know, the creative team with me on Zoom is very helpful. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, sometimes I would probably do something, because this is, like, it's Disney Junior, you know? So it's,
yeah,
like, it's a little more innocent than, sure, you know, like an ABC or even a Broadway show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, sometimes just like that little redirection, it's like, remember, it's Disney Junior.
Right.
Yeah, that's always helpful, you know?
Totally. Do you ever find like the difficulty in like, oh, you know, I have to smile extra hard when I say this so that it comes off in my voice that I'm happy or something like that?
Yeah. because when I was doing like single parents and stuff like that, like you mm-hmm. could kind of tell where the story was like going with like the facial expressions and even just the script,
right.
You know, with this stuff, it's like, you know, you really have to, it's not even that you have to push it, but you kind of just have to like tell the animators and like the creative team, like, I am happy, you know,
right.
This is supposed to be happy. Or this is supposed to be sad, or I'm supposed to be annoyed or angry. You know, it's just a lot of, it's very interesting. And it's also really, really fun. I'm so excited for people to see this.
Yeah, it's really fun. And the thing is too, is like, it's cool from like, even an actor standpoint, but also like the creative team, because they ask you for like, did they ask you to say the line 3 times and then they're going to pick, or maybe you had to do it 3 more times. Like, is that like weird? Like with no one repeating to you and you're just saying 3 lines in a row.
Oh yeah. I remember.
Yeah. It's weird, right?
There was one like isolated like case where, there was like a really like back and forth kind of scene. And I had, you know, one of the higher ups go back and forth with me.
Oh, cool. But,
yeah, there's hardly any anything to bounce off of.
Yeah.
Well, you're kind of just going off of like the stage direction and also like, you know, the line prior. So,
right.
You know, just like saying the same word over and over again. It's kind of just like, yeah, just repeating the same word over and over again. And then it starts to like lose meaning and you're like, wait, why did
yes.
you like that, you know? Well, I do that a lot during this show. It's kind of just like,
absolutely.
talk
yeah, seriously, yeah. It's all about like the tone shifts. I feel it's more like, how do I do this differently? Oh, I guess, yeah. I can emphasize this word on this turn, like, I don't know, like, yeah, or maybe
some,
I go up,
there's some like one word lines or like maybe like one sentence lines that I would have that like really threw me for a loop.
Yeah, right.
How do I say this in more than one like tone of voice, you know? Because I could do like a sarcastic, or I could do like a, you know, or a genuine, you know, because
sure,
you kind of find which one fits with the theme of the scene and also the network and, you know.
Absolutely. It's yeah. such a cool, and voiceover work always fascinates me, and just such a cool like place to be in and put yourself in for like a couple of days. It's just like, wow, it's awesome. It's truly unlike any other part of the industry, which is why I was like, you know, quadruple threat, that's its own little, you know, I don't know, I guess like it's own little like thing in the industry, that it's just like another talent that you like have to add to your bag of tricks, you know?
Yeah, I think it's like an extra thing that I have not met anybody yeah. on the show.
Yes.
I you know, like those, you know, those like publicity articles had like released, you know, that sure. was when I found out who was in the show.
That's awesome.
I had no idea who was in the show, you know, until I read that article and I was like, what? No way. Like, you're lying, you know? And then it was like, I didn't even know, you know, the kind of show that I was doing, you know?
Right.
I hadn't seen any like character designs other than myself. And that was like a very early design when I was like learning the material for the audition, you know?
Sure.
So just that, you know? Was
so when does this come out?
Okay. So I'm like not entirely sure, but I'm very like 99% sure that it is coming out this March.
Oh my god. That's so exciting. Yeah. So everyone watch out on Disney Junior, okay? You're yeah, gonna see Devin. Well, not see yeah. Devin, but you'll hear him.
Yeah, you'll hear me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, okay, so I think I spoke with the higher-ups, and they were like, okay, so it's most likely going to come out in March, and then I think a couple weeks after, we're going to be on Disney+. So.
Oh, awesome. Yes, absolutely. We will absolutely support that.
Just the thought of being on Disney Plus, you know, that's
yeah,
that's the dream.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Congrats. That's huge. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to look for your voice there or hear your voice. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say. I love it. So then you also mentioned that you were Rory in Single Parents in ABC, which is the set life. Talk to me. This is a whole nother thing too. Completely different to act into theater and stuff.
Because when I had heard that I was doing a TV show, well, first of all, I was over the moon, right?
Yeah.
I had never been to that side of the U.S. before, you know? So it was just like being over there and just seeing all these different people and like meeting different kinds of like actors and just being in that space with, you know, everybody that was in the show was very, very crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had just come off of Kinky Boots, where everything was kind of just like already rehearsed and stuff like that. People would just go out on a whim and just try stuff on Single Parents. And that made for a very fun, wild card atmosphere that was just insane.
Well, in a way, like, you have to with film, because, like, it's very difficult to just do the same thing over and over again as they get different camera angles or whatever it is that they have to get. It's a lot more like of waiting than you are like, you know, performing and doing your thing. So to just keep it fresh and everything, you got to be bold and while also trying to be like true, you know. But that's fascinating to hear. So is this your first like TV experience, like show that you did?
Yeah, it was my first TV show, you know. it was crazy, you know, just seeing myself on TV, having like lines, and, you know, doing the thing that I love and people actually seeing it and just like, it's like, it was like internet, it was like world, like, I was speechless, you know, seeing myself at that premiere party. So do you like
that? Do you like watching yourself, or is it kind of like, oh, like, I don't know if I can watch myself?
Well, watching myself now,
fair,
doing the stuff I was doing back then, it's hard because I was like, I made those choices. And that's very interesting. And, you know, just like critiquing myself on those scenes, like, I could have done that better. I would have done that if I was doing that line again. Just like, yeah. So seeing myself now is like super awkward. I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
That was the choice that I made, huh? You know?
Yes. I love that. That's so funny. I completely understand what you're trying to say here. I love that. So like I said, like set life, talk to me about set life. What do you, I mean, I don't know, like, it's just such a different thing. You have to come like 2 hours before you go on camera to do hair and makeup, which is like, you get to a Broadway theater like 15, 30 minutes before a show and you're good, you know, like, just talk to me about like the differences, and even like, you can even touch on like the different acting that we kind of talked about with voice acting in theater with like on camera work. I feel like there's a bit of a difference to theater as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Set life was a dream.
Yeah.
Just like coming in every day and, you know, being around these loving people and, you know, just getting to interact and play off of all of these different types of actors it was just so much fun, you know? I had a really hard time, like when we would have hiatuses in between seasons or like do like a Christmas break. I would do some community theater in between that, just like keep the creative juices flowing, you know? It was very hard for me to like cheat out. It was really hard for me to cheat out and also be a lot less subtle with my acting choices, because there's a lot of like zoom in angles and like a lot of different angles on TV, you know? But when you're doing a theater show or like some kind of show where people are like watching you live, there are people like in the nosebleeds that like can't really
right.
see acting choices, you know? So having that factor coming back to it was very hard, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, it's very true. I mean, I feel like it's more of like an everyday kind of thing on TV and film, and then theater, you have to be a little bit of more of a showman, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of like that, a little flashier maybe. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're totally right. And I think going back to like the whole voiceover, how you like didn't even meet anybody on the show. And like, I feel like the TV and film and on camera work is kind of like that middle ground from like voiceover and theater. Cause theater, you meet everybody and you're going to work with them every night. And then like TV and film, you kind of meet some of them, most of them, definitely the people that you'll be with every day. And then it's like, I don't really know the rest of you. And like, so it's like, it's interesting, the three stages of the industry that you've accomplished and how they all differ. So it's a very good point. And I was just thinking about that. And I was like, yeah, I totally see that.
Yeah, I think during TV, especially with like that show, like Single Parents, it was very, very like, you know, important to get to know your cast members. And also, it's very
sure.
important to know them so that you can play off of them and also like interact with them in public and also like have good chemistry during interviews and also just like during regular scenes, you know? So just having that like interaction feature was very, it was great, you know, doing that show with, you know, those people.
Yeah, because you have to have some personal connection in order to, you know, act with them and do a scene with them as two different other people, you know, like it's fascinating what our lives is like, literally. It's just like very, very bizarre what we've chosen to do and with our life. But it's so fun. And like, I wouldn't change it for the world. Well, Devin, I mean, you've hit everything like that I wanted to talk about in everything that you know, your career in different stages of the industry. So I just, do you have anything else that you wanted to talk about before we head off?
I think we pretty much touched on everything. But definitely go check out Eureka, that is coming out.
Yeah.
In you know, come see MJ the Musical. We're on the schedule's kind of crazy right now, but
a little bit.
Come get your tickets when it's, you know, convenient to you. But yeah, it's very fun just to be in this business, you know? It's been a very crazy ride, but I
absolutely,
like you said, I wouldn't change it for the world, you know?
Yeah, and go get your tickets to MJ while you can get them for 2-for-1 Broadway, which is that week, that promotional thing is still going on. So do that while you can. Take advantage of the deal. And Devin, can you drop your Instagram or social media, anything handle, so that they can follow along in all of the incredible adventures that you do next?
Yes. I'm on Instagram mainly at DevinTrey08. I'm also on TikTok at devintheweirdo.com.
Yes.
I'm changing it, but you know, right now.
Wait. I just got to talk to you real quick. That your opening night TikTok of you and your opening transitioning to your opening night suit. That was one of the greatest videos I had ever seen. That was so funny. Everyone, you all need to check out Devin's TikTok and his Instagram.
I'm on TikTok.
Because it's great stuff.
DevinTheWeirdo.com. I'm not very good at doing a TikTok, but you know, go and follow me.
Hey, it is quality entertainment if you ask me. Seriously. You're selling yourself short here. It's awesome. Well, Devin, seriously, thank you so much. I love hearing kids' perspectives on the industry as a fellow child actor myself, and just kind of seeing how it's just relatable and how, you know, what we do is just, it's just not talked about. And I don't think people realize, you know, we still have to go to school and do this and like all these insane things. Oh, it's a crazy life, but it is still fun for sure. But it's just a lot of work. So thank you for coming on and talking about it and shedding a light. And I know a lot of people listening are going to really enjoy this episode and become huge fans of you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. Thank you.
Take a bow, Devin Trey Campbell. Oh my gosh. So, first of all, thank you so much for coming on the show. I absolutely enjoyed hearing his stories. I love the fact that he was able to talk about all these incredible things going on right now in his career that not many people know about right now. Obviously, MJ's still in the very new stages of its run on Broadway. Eureka, which is his show that's about to come out on Disney Plus. Obviously, no one's seen that yet because it's not out. But I was just really excited to talk to him about all these things and kind of promote all of that stuff. And it's great stuff to keep your eye out for. Great kid. I really enjoyed talking to him, and he's doing so many great things. So I loved his story about it going into the Kinky Boots audition, never wearing heels before. And his mom was just like, you know, maybe you should walk in these. I thought it was perfect. But there were so many great stories in that. So thank you, Devin, for sharing all of those wonderful stories. And I know the audience, I know you listeners had to enjoy it. So I appreciate that. And I hope you enjoyed it. Now, I mentioned earlier in the episode, before we brought Devin in, that Take a Bow has a bit of announcement. And I can't make the formal announcement this week, but I did want to create awareness around it. So Take a Bow is doing something very exciting that has never been done on Take a Bow before or with Take a Bow or anything like that. But I want to plant a little seed in your head to mark your calendars down and keep your April fairly open. Next week, I'm going to be announcing what it is and what the date is, and what's happening. It may be a guest. It may be something else. Whatever it may be, you're going to want to hear about it. It's very exciting. It's going to be, I think it's going to be the best thing that Take a Bow has done in its run. I'm very excited to announce it. Just something's happening in April. So stay tuned. Mark your calendars that something happening for Take a Bow is happening in April. Because you're gonna wanna keep it free, and you're gonna wanna mark it down and make sure that you don't miss it. So it's great stuff. I'm very excited for it, and that's all I'm going to say now. It's just a little teaser. I'm sorry if I drive you crazy until next Thursday, but I promise you it's going to be worth it, because I promise you I am announcing it next Thursday. I'm going to get the clear. So stay tuned, but keep your eye out on our socials, on the next week's episode, whatever it is. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate it. Anyway, that's all I have for you folks this week. I'm going to keep it as a shorter episode. Lots going on. But I appreciate you folks listening. I appreciate all of the love and support. As always, like I mentioned earlier, like literally just a few seconds ago, check us out on social at Take a Bow Podcast. We're on Instagram and TikTok mainly. As always, you can check out our Patreon already know they're getting the announcement today. So just a thought, if you want to know, maybe if you join our Patreon community, you will already know. They're getting that. And yeah, just stay tuned, because none of this would be possible without all of you folks listening and supporting, and I appreciate it. So thank you again, and I hope, and like honestly, like you need to be here next week. So Until then, bye everyone. Have a great week. For this episode's curtain call, I would like to recognize a few people who also deserve to take a bow. This podcast would not be possible without the help from Dory Berenstein, Brittany Bigelow, Katie Rosen, Alan Seals, and the team at the Broadway Podcast Network. Next in line to take a bow is Tessie Tokash, who edits the audio and all the visuals for this podcast. A special thanks to patrons Brian Thompson, Pat McNamara, the listeners at PCC, as well as all of the other patrons for their continued support. If you're interested in becoming a patron, go to patreon.com/TAB. And if you enjoyed this week's episode, don't forget to subscribe on the platform that you're currently listening to this on. Also, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at Take A Bow Podcast. Take A Bow's logo is designed by Giselle Bustos, and the music is by Nikki Torsha and Cormac Collinon. Bye, everyone. Hope to see you next week.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.